I'm Tom Droege, and this is my wife, Esther, and we've been dealing with health ministry this week. Last week, we talked about health and spirituality, but this week, we're talking about health and healing ministries in the church. We spoke a little bit on Monday about biblical and historical precedents for that, particularly with Jesus' healing ministry. And then we explored more generally the kinds of things that are going on in churches right now in terms of health ministry. And tonight we're going to focus on a particular health ministry that is spreading very rapidly across denominations, and that's parish nurses, sometimes called churches, nurses in churches. And I want to provide initially just a little background about how this got started. And then Esther, who is a nurse, will talk about the concept of the parish nurse. We have a short video of parish nursing. And then we'll just have some conversation about that. The person who initiated this is a Lutheran. Granger Westberg, ELCA pastor, who has throughout his life been interested in religion and medicine connections. I first got to know him when I was at the Divinity School of the University of Chicago, and he was on the faculty of the medical is on the medical faculty of Billings Hospital, which is the research hospital connected to the University of Chicago. Unheard of at that time that a clergy person would be associated with a medical faculty. That's how far ahead he was. And he was trying to inform medical students about the religious dimension of what was happening in the lives of patients. Thing I remember most from that time is that he set up religion and medicine dialogues, and there would be a case taken from somebody in the hospital, and then the physicians who were attending this person and the nurses and social workers on one end, chaplain, pastor, and theology faculty were there, and so that was then the case that was discussed. And some wonderful conversations going back across disciplines about this. Now, what Granger Westberg was best known for before the parish nurse concept was holistic healthcare centers. Perhaps some of you have heard of these. Most of them were in the Chicago area and are still operating. But there is one up in Minneapolis. There are several on the East Coast, and it never grew to a large scale phenomena, but it attracted a lot of attention, and it is still a worthy idea. What his idea was is that we ought to put medical clinics in church buildings which are largely unused during the week, and provide whole person health care. And then get a physician, a nurse, and a pastoral counselor who together would interview any person who came in for medical treatment and then provide a team kind of treatment for this, treating the whole person. It's a wonderful idea and has worked well, except that it's a costly thing for a congregation can do. And there aren't many congregations that can afford to put that much money into establishing a full-scale clinic and then hiring the personnel to provide the service. But it was the idea that churches ought to be providing ministry to people in terms of caring for the whole person. Now, since there were not very many congregations that could afford to do that, Granger got the idea of why not nurses? There are a lot of nurses in congregations already, and perhaps we can enlist them either on a volunteer basis or a paid basis to provide health ministry to congregations. And that idea has caught on really quite dramatically in the last 5 or 6 years. There are close to 1,000 parish nurses now, officially recognized as health ministers in congregations across denominational lines. So it started as a Lutheran idea, but you find this in Roman Catholic churches, Presbyterian, Methodist, and it continues to grow very, very rapidly. And it's that idea that we want to put before you more clearly and invite your conversation about. So Esther's going to present the concept, and then we'll watch the video.
The church has unique qualities that distinguish it as an agency of health, and some of these are, first of all, the mission of the church is that of health and salvation. Secondly, the intention of the church is to respond to the needs of the community and thereby bring about some kind of change. Next, the volunteer structure of the church makes it possible to assist others in the community in a variety of different ways. Fourth, the church is the only agency in the community that consistently interacts with an individual from birth to death among all socioeconomic groups. And fifth, the one thing that transfers with a person in our mobile society is their faith orientation. And through their associations with the church, then, they can become oriented to their new community. Now, there are several models that are being used for parish nurses, and I'm going to mention four of them. However, there are many others that are emerging aside from the ones I'm going to mention. So the first one is the hospital-sponsored salaried model. The nurse is an employee of the hospital, and the congregation or congregations then contract with the hospital for the services of a specific nurse. So the nurse is employed by the hospital but contracts with the church and is salaried. Secondly, then there's the hospital sponsored volunteer. And here, nurses from particular congregations have been identified as volunteers within their churches. And the nurse then relates to a particular hospital so that the hospital then can provide specific kinds of resources that might be needed by that nurse. Then the third model is the congregation-based salaried model. And here, the church hires a nurse to work as part of the staff of the congregation. The numbers of hours that the nurse might work can be varied and can be flexible. So it could be part-time, it could be full-time, depending on what the congregation wants. This model requires a close and cooperative working relationship between the pastor and the nurse. And then the last model is the congregation-based volunteer model. And in this particular model, a nurse or several nurses within a specific congregation have been identified to provide certain services to the congregation. And then each nurse, say if there are several, will volunteer according to her or his ability. And this can be anywhere from 2 to 10 hours per week. Now, some of the qualifications, and if you can't see this, let me know. Can you all see that? Are you all in position? Okay.
Small print.
Awfully small print, right.
Okay, first of all, the nurse then must have a current license, that she's a registered nurse. You know, there are all different kinds of levels of nurses, and it's been determined that this should be a registered nurse as opposed to a practical nurse or some other level. Also, it's desirable that she have 2 years of experience, and of course it can be more than that, but at least 2 years. This person needs to be dedicated and called to a special kind of service to others. Must be mature, sensitive, caring, and sensitive to spiritual needs, and then able to serve as a representative of God's care for the people of God. Community health nursing experience is preferred, but not a requirement. The person must have the ability to understand and communicate the concepts of the interrelationship of the body, mind, and spirit to health and wellness. The person must have an understanding of and commitment to fostering wellness in today's society. She must be a good communicator, interpersonal, and have caring skills. The person must possess leadership skills and the ability to work with others, possess writing and speaking skills, and then other requirements as needed by a specific church. Then some of the basic functions. Probably also not very easy to see.
That's better up a little higher, you know, get that flaw in there. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, the basic functions of a parish nurse would work with the pastor, and if there's a health cabinet, again, this depends on the size of the congregation. Some of the churches may have a health cabinet, and so she would be part of the cabinet and would need to work with the other members in that cabinet. And they would identify the congregational health needs and to plan and promote whole person health. Also provide educational classes to enable wellness and prevent illness, and provide personal health counseling, health screening, and referrals for the members as needed. I've also identified four roles of the nurse. Okay, now as you look at these different roles that I've identified, can you think of various different things that the nurse might do, and then see which one of these categories it would fit in? But first of all, let's just think of things that you think a nurse would be involved in with or could do. And if you happen to have a nurse in your congregation, what are some of the things that your nurse in the congregation does? Does anybody have a parish nurse benefit?
Oh,
okay.
Two.
What are some of the kinds of things that a parish nurse in your congregation does do?
Counseling caregivers who have a terminally ill patient to take care of.
Okay. And you said counseling, so that probably would fit under the counseling category, and I'll just put that. What you said you had one.
Yeah, she, I know she keeps in touch with shut-ins and follows up on people coming out of the hospital that would need special help, such as the agent coming out of the hospital, whether they need a wheelchair, crutches, or special care, or the community health nurse coming in, that sort of thing. So I don't know if you would call that advocacy.
This probably is the I'm trying to think of how to write that down.
Well, it's the maybe follow up would be one, you know, or a hospital follow up. Also, shut ins.
You were thinking that as an advocate. You think what would she be doing there, do you think?
What, in the post hospital? Actually there she's kind of none of the above. I can't think of which one.
I think probably she'd be teaching, don't you?
Maybe teaching. Yeah.
That maybe there would be things there that again the caregiver would need to know, or even the person that had been ill that would need to know. Maybe they have dressings that need changing, or maybe maybe they're new diabetics and need insulin guidance or something like that. So probably this would be pretty much a teaching responsibility.
Can you think of some other things that the nurse might do? Or does do?
She would probably be a good person to teach family members how to take care of a long-term ill family member.
Okay, that would probably fall into this category. That's caregiver for chronic illness.
Yeah, but that's teaching he's talking about.
Teaching.
Okay,
teaching the family.
She would come to my home and teach me and other members of the family.
Okay,
how
so
to
then
take
this
care.
Would probably be a dual classification or dual role. She might be counseling, she might also be teaching about chronic illness. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Teaching people how to take care of a family member.
That would fit with coordinating too. She'd coordinate volunteers to do that. That one covers a lot of.
You kind of threw me when you said coordinator volunteers, because to me that's a whole other category. Coordinator volunteers is a job in itself in the church.
Right.
But, you know, but if you're just talking about maybe people to bring in meals or something, that's, you know, a smaller.
Now, what's meant by this category is that usually most churches have a lot of volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is already volunteering to bring in Meals and Wheels, then she doesn't want another group of people also talking about bringing in Meals and Wheels. That if she will know who's doing what, and if there are any gaps or any specific needs, and somebody that she can bring in another volunteer with, then she's the one that can see to it all of these different areas are properly covered, as opposed to maybe a whole group doing one thing and then another area is being left hanging. Any other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Ours also does some teaching. She will duplicate papers about nutrition. And she also has done blood pressures. She's at certain hours when she'll do free blood pressures for
people.
That's
a church.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is too. Okay, I would say that this is probably also teaching. She's actually probably doing the blood pressures, but in the process, since she's teaching the person a little bit about the blood pressure, whether it's high, low, what they should be doing, et cetera, to control it.
Now, our nurse is taught in adult Sunday school periodically about other things. Nutrition was one, cancer, you know, heart disease, different lifestyles, that kind of stuff. You know. So there's a lot of different.
Esther, what about a sort of more hands-on things? Somebody comes to a nurse with a problem and wants medical advice. Should a nurse in a church, a parish nurse, do that? In other words, how much should she be directly involved in what more traditionally we think of as nursing care?
What do you think? Any comments or any thoughts on that?
Most nurses will say, talk to your doctor, I think.
You would, huh?
I think so, sure. Yeah. I think professionally they should. It's my understanding.
Anybody else?
We have a nonprofit nursing home in our area that does everything there but the top part. And we have a Lutheran counseling service that comes to our church. He's there all the time to take care of the counseling. But the nursing home has a fantastic program of doing all of the items, even coming to our retirement community every third Wednesday, taking the blood pressure of anyone that wasn't in the community. This is, so this nursing home does this in our community now.
So you're saying the nursing home, but who from the nursing home? Nurses?
The nurse, registered nurse.
Yes. Okay. They send out nursing home care too from there.
Okay. But going back to the question that Tom raised, it was said over here that they would say, go and ask your doctor. Any
what
other
was
thoughts
question
on that?
Again? What was the question?
Well, if somebody comes with a problem and they're seeking some kind of medical advice, should the nurse give it? Is that part of the function of the nurse in the church?
See, you're all shaking your head no, and I'd probably be the only one in the room that would say, yes, I do. I do it all the time. I don't know if any of you were here last week, but I mentioned that I work for this insurance company, and I've been working for them as a medical coordinator since January. And my job is paperwork. I'm supposed to be dealing with medical reviews for different files that we're working on. But it's been very surprising to me since I started working there how many of the staff people come to my office about a personal problem. And I think there are a lot of things, and this would probably come under the counseling I don't do for them, but there are a lot of things that nurses can do. For example, some of them have asked me, well, what are some of the good doctors in the area? And I've searched out doctors. Some of them have come and asked me about their, two men have talked to me about their heart problems, and I will talk to them. To me, that's counseling. That's perfectly all right for me to do. They might have some questions. Sometimes they simply want reassurance that what they're doing is the right thing. Or do I think that they should maybe be doing something else? Another person came to me just the week before we came here. He'd been working out in his yard, and he'd been bitten with fire ants. And he had all these, he had a bunch of blisters on his hand, and he said, what should I do about these fire ant bites? Well, we don't have fire ants in Indiana, so I had very little experience with fire ants. So what I did then, I called a number of the clinics in Atlanta, and I simply said, what do you do for fire ant bites? And I had to call several because some of them said exactly what you said. He has to come in, we have to, the doctor has to see him. But fortunately, I did get a clinic that said, this is what he should do. And I told him, he went and did it. Some women have come talk to me about some other difficulties. One came in and talked to me about an emotional problem. I feel this is all within my expertise. I don't think I'm doing anything out of line. If they do ask me things, if they want me to diagnose something, I mean, I will tell them, I think what you're talking about is such and so, but maybe you should do such and such to confirm it. And I have recommended some of them see their personal physicians about something that they've talked to me about. So I feel like I'm, in a sense, I'm counseling, but I'm also probably sort of an advocate. I'm sort of in between. Here they are, they have maybe have a minor problem, or maybe they simply have a concern. And I feel that many times nurses can be very helpful in this way. As you all know, medical care these days is terribly, terribly expensive. You go to the doctor just for a prescription, maybe, and it'll cost you $50. Nurses can't prescribe, they can't, you know, write prescription or anything like that, so that's not even within the realm of consideration. But anybody that comes to me and wants to talk to me about a health problem, I'm perfectly willing to listen. And I think most nurses are. And if they're not, then I wonder if they're really functioning as nurses ought to.
What about malpractice?
Do you see that as malpractice?
It could.
Sure, if I told them, if I prescribed, if they're...
But if they listened to what you said and it didn't work out and they got really deathly sick or died, you know, that this malpractice is something really terrific.
I agree. But if they're that ill, then I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. See, again, I feel that I've been a nurse long enough at this point that if I can't recognize something serious, I probably am not a very good nurse. True, I could make a mistake, but generally speaking, you know, it's the smaller things that I feel very comfortable with talking with the person about and dealing with it. And I always, you know, again, tell the person that comes to me, you know, you're the one that has to make the decision. You're the one, you know, I'll tell you what I think, but it's up to you to either do what I suggest or do something else or go and seek something else. Or if I advise them to seek something else, and if they don't, that's, again,
That's their choice. So anyway, I do it. And I don't have insurance. Malpractice insurance.
Who pays for the, these are homes that come and take the blood pressure of the people's home. They're in there.
This is a Catholic home.
Catholic.
Nonprofit home, right next to where we live. And they pay for that. They pay for it.
They're charged to the people that come and get the blood pressure.
That's part of their...
Oh, you mean the people from the home go to them?
No. She comes to us.
They come to a group of people. They're all grouped there.
Oh, and they're all group home.
To our community hall and our retirement center.
Oh, you're in the retirement center. Oh, okay.
And she comes there every third Wednesday.
Oh, I see. I didn't understand it was community center. Okay. I thought it was individual homes.
No.
Okay, a few other things I'd like to mention. You know, I think this is the area that most people have difficulty with when they think of it in terms of the nurse. If you had a marital problem, would you talk to a nurse? I mean, a nurse might be just as reasonable a person to talk with as somebody else. Or if you had a substance abuse problem, would you talk to a nurse? Get some counsel from her. If there was a teenage pregnancy in your family, would you talk to the nurse? And yet these are all things that are perfectly appropriate for a nurse to counsel someone on. Teaching, well, I think, again, a lot of you think of the nurse as a teacher, and that certainly is appropriate. We've already mentioned diabetes, we've talked about blood pressure, various different diseases. Now, a few things under the advocacy role. Here, if the church is involved in food distribution, again, the nurse might say, you know, I know this family that is in need of some food, and then can see to it that it's provided to that family through the church. Sometimes a family may be living in some unhealthy or unsafe housing conditions, and again, maybe then the nurse can work with housing authorities and try and get some help with family in this manner. Or she could, again, with housing, maybe be an interpreter. You know, landlords have certain perspectives of things, and the person living there has a perspective, and sometimes somebody is needed to sort of help both sides understand the other point of view. And we already talked about the coordinator, a volunteer. Okay, now that you've turned this off, I'm going to turn it on.
Oh, okay.
The last thing I have on the transparency are duties, and we've covered a lot of these. So, but this brings it out, again, a little differently, and that is that... the nurse is part of the ministerial staff, and the activities that she has, along with these roles, service as a personal health counselor and home health visitor, work regularly with the health cabinet, I think we also mentioned that, to develop and plan the health ministry in the church, plan and teach classes, schedule speakers, and coordinate support groups, promote health education through church newsletter, the church bulletin, and church services, provide regular health screening and monitoring, recruit and train volunteers to help with the health ministry, provide health referral information, serve as a liaison between the congregation and community resources, and maintain appropriate health ministry records, and then other responsibilities as assigned by the clergy staff. Now, a little bit about funding, and Tom will go into that.
I just want to make a couple of comments about that through the experience I've had as a consultant with the Health Ministry Association, which consists primarily of parish nurses, but other people who do health ministry in congregations. And the experience is, and I'm sure you won't find it surprising, that if the nurse is not paid, in other words, if you count solely on volunteer efforts, the chances of the program having long-term continuity is pretty weak. And that's simply because the people who are going to provide this service are normally people who need to have some kind of income. And so though the volunteer program can work, most of the programs suggest that some kind of reimbursement, even though it may not be a lot, is preferable. Mention one other thing, the most successful programs are connected to a hospital as a sponsoring agency, in the sense that the hospital will provide a place for the nurses to meet, give them continuing education, and support services to provide network of relationships among them, because they can get very, very isolated otherwise. It's good for the hospital to provide that kind of community service, and it's enormously helpful for the parish nurses. I think the best program around is by Lutheran General Hospital in Chicago, which has a parish nurse resource center, and then a lot of congregations that are connected. What they do, and it's an ideal model, I think, is for the first year, they pay 75% of the stipend for the parish nurse. The congregation pays 25%. The next year, it's 50-50. Then the congregation pays 75%, the hospital 25%, and then finally, the congregation takes the full load of the salary. That's a very reasonable kind of way to work it into the congregational budget. Every congregation that I know that has this kind of ministry swears by it. I have yet to hear I'm sure there are some where it just didn't work, but it proves itself by experience. I want to show you a brief videotape of about 15 minutes put out by the Parish Resource Center in Park Ridge, Lutheran General. And then hopefully we'll have a few minutes to talk after that's through.
Church. With the growth of medical specialties, however, churches primarily have been concerned with a person's spiritual dimension. Doctors, nurses, and hospitals focus on the physical and emotional dimensions of the person. Now, this trend is changing. More and more, we realize that a person is not just a physical being, but spiritual as well. Treatment of the whole person, physical, emotional, and spiritual, is essential in addressing an individual's health needs. And playing a key role in this trend is the parish nurse.
I had heard about parish nursing probably a year and a half before getting this position. And at the time of hearing about it, it just felt right. It felt like something that I could combine my nursing, my professional skills, and my faith, Christian faith issues.
Parish nurses are part of the growing importance of health ministry in churches. Available through the local congregation, the parish nurse provides nursing care from a holistic point of view. That is, care of the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of each human being. Parish nurses are active in health counseling, in education, developing support groups, and acting as liaisons to community health services. In particular, parish nurses are highly successful in assisting with the questions and concerns of older adults.
They maybe were afraid to see their physician. They didn't want to bother to see their physician with these concerns. maybe did not want to make appointments with their physician. Getting there could have been a problem. Again, didn't want to bother their physician. I hear that a lot from the older adult. I don't want to bother him. This is such a minor issue. And yet it's not a minor issue. If it's a concern of theirs, it's a major issue. But they felt they could come and see a nurse. So they saw me as really a medical person that they could come and speak to about health issues.
Aging all too often can be viewed as a series of losses. The loss of jobs, activities, health, and of course, loved ones. Yet with spiritual commitment enhancing their own strength, older adults can weather such losses and lead meaningful lives. Sometimes they simply need a helping hand. For them, the parish nurse is there, from big city congregations to small country churches. Sue Cox is the parish nurse for two congregations, Lakeview Lutheran Church and Lakeview Presbyterian Church, both located on Chicago's Near North Side. Recently, Sue has been helping Duncan and Virginia Henderson, whose son Paul has AIDS.
Well, last year our son was quite ill, and we kept making trips from St. Louis, that's where we lived, up to Chicago. And we met Sue here at the Presbyterian Church, and she came out to my son's home to see how he was doing and how we were getting along, and if we would like for her to stay and look after our son for a little while, for a couple hours, so we could get out to go to eat or go to a show or something, which we thought was awfully nice, but we didn't take her up on it because we didn't know any place to go in Chicago because we had just been up. But this year we came up, or last year we came up on December the 20th, was when we sold our home in St. Louis to come up and be with our son. It's quite a traumatic experience to just have to pick up from, my wife has always lived in, we lived in Jennings, which was the first suburb north of St. Louis, and lived there all of her life, and I've been there over 50 years, and to leave our friends and relatives that are in St. Louis, my wife's relatives, and it's a big change, but we both love our son, and he had AIDS, and we felt that we should be with him.
I had initially, knowing that they were from out of town and had moved into here, and were struggling with the son's illness, I felt it was good to offer some support to them. And early on, that's kind of what I had done, was just to do some home visiting with them, pass on some numbers in the area if they needed to get some information on health problems, etc. Offered to be around if they needed something whatsoever. And I think they were the ones that kind of got back to me at some point, feeling like they would like to be involved in some sense of support group.
Well, I didn't feel that we really needed that, but my wife did, so after a while I decided I would go along with them, and Sue got us a real nice support group to belong to, and I found out that Sue and my wife were right, and it was very helpful, and she has been very supportive. She always, every time we see her, she's got that big smile, and what can she do to help us? And
they're wonderful people. They, I've not known them that long, but they have an incredible faith that I can see in the short amount of time that I've spent with them. I think that the last time that I spoke with them in any depth, they were speaking about the issue of not knowing whether to tell their own home church congregation, you know, what was happening with their son, and I know it was a real struggle for them, but I think it was their faith that helped them to be open and to say, yeah, you know, our son has AIDS, and I think that helped immensely in their own ability to be accepting of that.
It's just the way things are. It's the way that God has planned it, and you take it day at a time from where you are, and I don't feel bitter or anything like that at all, no. Sorry for him, he's the only child we have. I feel very sorry for him, sorry that we can't do more for him, but as I said, I certainly don't feel bitter about it. Just grateful that we both have good health and that we can help him.
The personal attention that Sue provides for the Hendersons includes assessment of their needs as well as referral to appropriate agencies and support groups. This kind of attention is representative of her approach to the entire congregation.
I really enjoy getting in the homes of folks within the churches. It's real relaxing, it's a real highlight, and it speaks the most to people, I find, that, you know, someone's willing to come into your home situation and spend time with you really seems to touch people very deeply. And yet I find it a fairly easy thing to do. I work with the community groups within both congregations. I feel like some of my main focus with those groups are the education. So that's been a real major one. And I guess a resource referral role has been prime here. Even in the midst of doing my education, or even in the midst of doing my, giving out resources or making referrals, people need to be listened to. So there are days that I spend listening, and that's okay, and that's fine, because that needs to happen.
In the suburbs outside Chicago, Marilyn Bellow is the parish nurse for both Glenview Community Church and St. Isaac Jogues Catholic Church. In her location, she also sees the need for adult education, for personal health counseling, referral to resources, and mobilizing volunteers.
I found when I started here that the people really wanted adult ed, and it seemed to be the best way to get the holistic concept across, that in order to be healthy, you had to be healthy in body, mind, and spirit. So the first program I decided to have was on being a caregiver, and it was called the Golden Years, being with, whether you were a caregiver or someone, or being there if you were actually in the Golden Years. And I remember when I wanted to have this program, I kept asking, who do I have to ask to have this program? And they said, you don't have to ask anyone. We are so excited about having some adult and just have it. And I did, and the response, well, we had about 50 to 60 people at the first program. Many of the times people will set up an appointment, you know, when they'll see me at coffee hour, or they'll see me at the drinking fountain, or they'll see me at a house walk or a meeting. In fact, I always say one of the reasons that the parish nurse role of being a health educator is so important is because while they're setting up for the program, people will come and see me and say, you know, I really need to talk to you sometime. Can I make an appointment, or can I call you next week? I think I first met Helen Miller during coffee hour, and what I try to do is between services, there's a coffee hour downstairs, and I try to go there as much as I possibly can to be visible to the members of the congregation. And Helen did come up and introduce herself and told me that she would like to talk to me sometimes.
And I called Marilyn because my husband was an invalid, and I was having to have back surgery, and I was scared to death to have it. I didn't know whether I'd come out of it able to walk or not. And I didn't know what would happen to us. And so I said to Marilyn, I'm so nervous because my sister had back surgery, and it was very poor surgery. And Marilyn said, you're not your sister, which was just perfect, just what I needed to hear. When my husband had his serious, serious surgery, and we had eventually had to find him a nursing home after several years of messing around with all kinds of operations, he had another stroke and he had to go to a nursing home. Well, Marilyn and the minister at the church called about 21 nursing homes before they could find one that would take him without several thousand dollars right over the board.
A short time after entering the nursing home, however, Helen's husband went on life support, and the family faced hard decisions on his subsequent care.
So we had to make that horrendous decision. And Marilyn was very helpful to me because she had been through something like that in her family, and she knew that that was a possible good thing to do. And that was something that I needed a lot of help with. And she was a real strong person for me to lean on. And when I had my doubts after we made the decision, and I said, I'm not sure I said the right thing, she said, did you want him to suffer any longer? And I mean, she had that way of saying the right thing to make turn my thinking around so I wouldn't go wallowing around in my feeling sorry for myself and sorry about the situation. I think I just feel good knowing that Marilyn is there, or that she can be reached. She can be reached at home or somewhere. She would always be my friend, I think.
The need is great for parish nurses in rural areas, where stories such as the one related by Ken and Verl Wallen of Orion, Illinois, are all too frequently told.
We was involved in the troubled economy in the early 80s, and it kept pushing to the place where we lost everything we'd ever worked for. And we had given this piece of land to our son to put a house on. He was transferred to Kansas, and when we took this over, we were under the supposition we was going to be able to sell the farm for enough money we could pay for this, which didn't turn out to be true. We couldn't even pay our debts, and we've been suffering our way ever since. Burl had surgery in 80, and from then on it seemed like 80 more years. From then on it seemed like everything started going to pot. It just kept going. And one time we was worth over $750,000 after debt. In 3 years that was all gone. That's how fast the decay was. And then she had further surgery. She should have had another surgery. Now I'm having surgery. It's not easy.
Verl Wallen underwent hip replacement surgery, while Ken currently is being treated for cancer. They are members of the Lutheran Church in Orion, where Mardell Dahl is the parish nurse.
We felt that being able to give them some information, support, pull people together so they didn't feel that they were going through these rough times alone, was very important, but they also needed to learn some new skills that they maybe didn't have, like listening and networking with other agencies and knowing where they could get financial help, how to meet some of the needs that they'd never faced before. So last summer, the x-ray showed that her hip was really deteriorated and that she was going to have a hip replacement. And so that was done in November, but the difficulty with that is that they were going to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. I assured them that as soon as they were through with the procedure and you could see that recovery was going along well, that I could put the pieces of their party together and carry that extra little bit for them too. So they had a really nice open house. Rural people historically are close, they're independent, they want to take care of their own problems. Maybe because I'm one of them, I can understand that, because I've been on the farm and I'm married to a farmer. But I think that my role then, maybe why my role is different than other parish nurses, maybe we just need to empower those people to and support them, because we don't want to take away that independence from them. But I do make personal contacts with them, and I've arranged for meals to be brought to the homes for some. I've gone to their homes to check their blood pressure. I saw real need for people suffering from arthritis who were not exercising enough, and I felt that perhaps a support group might be beneficial.
Mardell may not come out and preach a sermon or compose a lengthy prayer. Just her being around when she's needed. Giving you some of her strength.
Responding to the unique needs of their congregations, parish nurses are vital to their churches and communities. For older adults and for all congregation members, the parish nurse's knowledge of spiritual, physical, and emotional care greatly enhances the church's healing ministry.
There were times within the church when you felt like that people maybe needed help, but you weren't sure that you had the, that you would be welcomed in to get involved in their problem. And I feel that the parish nurse program then gives the credibility that it's the church that's concerned. It's just not an individual who might be wanting information, but that I'm an extension of the church who cares about them and can help them through some rough times.
Oh, is that right?
Not my home, no, but Orion is only about 20 minutes away, 20 minutes away from my town.
Yeah. Oh, we've got other Illinois people here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's close to us also.
Huh?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have just a couple minutes left. Any reactions to that or anything else that this stimulated that you want to talk about for a couple minutes?
Of the parishes that have parish nurses, do more? Most of them have a higher percent of senior citizens than in parishes that would have a lower percent of senior citizens?
I don't know the answer to that. It would be interesting to explore whether in fact that's so. Churches generally are aging, and in that sense, all churches probably are have a large number of older adults. But I really don't know the answer to that.
Do those parishes tend to be urban or rural or neither?
I think both. That their parish nurses are scattered in both urban and rural areas. Probably more urban than rural, because in the larger cities, hospitals have been eager to find ways to relate to the communities where they serve, and so there's been more initiative by larger hospitals, places like Los Angeles and Chicago and other places. Okay.
Would it be unwise for a parish to, that couldn't afford a full-time parish nurse, to divide her duties and some other work that she could do in the parish? Would that detract from her work as a nurse?
Well, I think that what happens most often is that a parish nurse serves more than one congregation.
Oh.
We're exploring the possibility of having a parish nurse for the congregation that Esther and I are attending in Atlanta. And she will probably be serving two churches. That's at least the way it's emerging.
That
she serves two. Huh?
Some could also be partly in a church, maybe half-time in the church and half-time in the hospital. You know, if she has a contract with the hospital, she could do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, our parish nurse works as a nurse in a local medical clinic, you know, for a doctor. And then she, I've forgotten if she works 10 or 20 hours a week as a parish nurse, volunteer right now in our congregation, where I think they're hoping eventually to pay her. But as far as I know, she's still volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So she has her other job on the outside.
You must have more of this in the Midwest than we do here on the West Coast.
I think that's true. It started in the Midwest, in the Chicago area, and lots of them in the East, but I think mostly concentrated in the Midwest. But there are pockets. Los Angeles has a lot of parish nurses, that Los Angeles area. So I don't know about Seattle. I do know that there are some, because they attended the Health Ministry Association meeting. But I think you're right. It's more in the Midwest.
We have such few elderly in our church that they're mostly 40, 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, a parish nurse should be able to deal with all ages.
Sure.
Because I can think of a lot of teenagers that a parish nurse should be able to help or counsel.
Yeah,
young married. Pardon me?
Abusive people would have someone to go to.
Mm-hmm.
People are being abused.
Yes.
And I know that's something we've been concerned about.
Yeah, there are lots of possibilities.
I was wondering if the videotape helped you a little bit with your malpractice concern. That.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No.
No, I wasn't concerned. It just flipped through my mind and I blurted it out.
Actually, I'm more concerned about being sued every time I drive my car. You know, working with an insurance company, I see this happening all the time. And so every time you're in your automobile and you even have a small accident, you're much more apt to be sued than I think I am as a nurse.
You're not just talking about the Lutheran congregations, you're talking about other sinners as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's across denominational lines.
I'm an Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a Lutheran church in the Seattle area that has a parish nurse. And we've been involved with the synod for some time.
Yeah.
The district before that. So I can't think of one. We're heavy in nursing homes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the nursing homes, like I say, the one that's close to us, which is a Catholic one, and the two big Lutheran homes. Three of them, in fact, there's four or five Lutheran homes in the area. They do similar things to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The homes do that. So, it's enlightening and thought-provoking what you've just been telling us. We appreciate the information.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the purpose, is just to give you a feel for the concept and the possibilities.
And we have this Lutheran Counseling Network, which is tied in with our North Pacific Synod,
mm-hmm.
that is partly paid for by the Synod, and the rest is paid for by private individuals who come for counseling, that is very strong in counseling in our area.
I mentioned this, I think, last night, and me mention it again. A Lutheran Brotherhood has provided a grant to the Health Ministries Association to provide consultants for congregations interested in starting health ministry. So there are funds available to help congregations that want to begin this.
Both Aid Association of Lutherans and Lutheran Brotherhood are both very strong in these types of things.
Yes, they are.
Very involved in both of them.
Very supportive of that.
Secretary Treasurer of one said one of the branches.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
People don't realize what's available through these Aid Association of Lutherans and Lutheran Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Counterparts, not competitive, but both doing a fantastic job.
Both doing a lot of good things, that's right.
Supplying funds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, millions over the years.
Yeah, they have. Tomorrow evening, what I'm going to do is to, first of all, just talk about the concept of visualization and guided imagery. And talk a little bit about some of the resistance that there has been to the use of this within the church, some of the reasons behind that, and why I think it's such a useful tool, because I use it regularly. And I'll probably do one guided imagery exercise tomorrow night. So if you're around and you have interest in that, just as an idea, and want to know more about that, that's what we'll be doing tomorrow evening. Guided imagery, the use of visualization.